Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back John Lambert of Benchmark PDM. Welcome back, John.
Nice to be here.
Well, it's great to have you back. And for those that may have missed the previous episodes with John, we covered thermal growth, we covered alignment as well, specifically around sprockets and pulleys. But today we're going to talk about something related but a little bit different. But before we dive into that, a little bit of background on John. So John served an apprenticeship in mechanical maintenance in England. After immigrating to Canada in 1973, he worked at Aero Industry and fiberglass manufacturing. He's held many positions from millwright to maintenance mechanic to lead hand, foreman, supervisor, and superintendent, as well as training instructor. As a training instructor, John, you implemented reliability-centered maintenance and total quality management into the maintenance and engineering group. In 1994, you started Benchmark Maintenance Services, specializing in rotating machinery installation, training, service, and equipment sales. Did I miss anything big there?
Oh, got it all covered. Yes, that's what we've been about.
Perfect. And can you give us the Coles No version on Benchmark?
Well, I've got to say we've been very successful. Benchmark Maintenance Services became Benchmark PDM, Precision Driven Maintenance, and we're the national distributor of Easy Laser products across the country. And we've been very successful in doing that, starting in Ontario, but we go right the way across. And so I'm very pleased about that. Still do a lot of training. We offer other simple products, such as vibration monitoring and balancing equipment, etc.
In your bio, it says that you implemented Reliability Center Maintenance, or RCM, into the engineering and maintenance department at a company you previously worked for. How successful was RCM there?
For a short time, we would have had success. We achieved success. I guess there was some low-hanging fruit. But in the long term, I have to say no. I don't think we were that successful.
Now, that doesn't surprise me. But why do you think that in the short point, you had success, but long-term, you didn't?
Well, as I said, we were able to capture some low-hanging fruit, which made us look successful. But I believe that following a maintenance strategy, such as reliability-centered maintenance, RCM2 by John Mowbray, will get you into the realms of world-class maintenance or best-in-class maintenance. However, these programs are very hard to implement, and many companies have tried and failed. The problem is it takes a lot of resources, such as man hours for training and for implementation. If you have a plan to run, you can get very short of man hours very quickly. Also, there's a lot of, for us, I guess there was a downturn in the economy at the same time. It's hard to create a team when you're actually laying people off. So very difficult.
Yeah, that is definitely a difficult aspect when trying to build that group and that team and that camaraderie around that project. So definitely a trying situation to be in.
I still believe these programs do work, and maybe more of a modified RCM program is more appropriate. Say, for example, I use Microsoft Office. I think it's a great program, but I don't use all of it. I just use what I need, PowerPoint and Excel, say, for instance. And I believe that we can do the same with RCM. We can use what Mowbray called on-condition tasks.
So on-condition tasks, I'm familiar with it, absolutely. Now, what exactly are you referring to, though, by on-condition tasks? Are you referring to predictive maintenance or condition monitoring?
Condition monitoring, yes, exactly. In Mowbray's book, RCM, he called them on-condition tasks or on-condition maintenance because the items were left in service on the condition they met the desired performance standard. So it's not a PM where we shut the machine down. The machine stays in service, and we unobtrusively use instruments like ultrasonics, etc., to monitor the condition of the machine. on condition maintenance, he said, includes predictive maintenance, condition-based maintenance, and condition monitoring. Actually, it's in on page 14, I still remember, of his book. But one of the big reasons that I like it is because it can be as basic or as sophisticated as your budget will allow.
Absolutely. It can be as simple as listening with the good old-fashioned screwdriver to the bearing housing. Yeah. It can be as simple as that, touching for heat changes, stuff of that nature.
Exactly.
Now, what strategies or programs do you see maintenance departments using typically?
Well, I still see the basic programs. Sadly to say, reactive maintenance is still very big. Where the machine fails and the maintenance team reacts and fixes it up. Then there's also, I like to see preventative maintenance. They basically just use a checklist at a set time or interval to prevent the breakdown. I still like it, though. I think there's good return in that. Predictive maintenance is out there where the maintenance team predicts when the machine will break down or will it fail. But I see a lot of companies farming this out to outside contractors. So a lot of it is still a lot of guesswork, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. There is still a lot of guesswork. And as technology accelerates, becoming an expert in each one of these techniques and technologies is becoming more and more difficult. You need to have that expertise to really get the value out of the program, I find.
I agree.
So how does condition monitoring fit in with all this then?
Condition monitoring fits in with the basic programs very well that many companies already have. It fits in hand in glove with the PM program, for instance, which is structured. It's planned, scheduled. Many times we can piggyback it on to a PM program, as Morbury suggested. It includes, as they said, predictive maintenance, so we can wrap it all together. So a PM program, condition monitoring, and predictive maintenance can be all in one. So I'm saying a modified PM program, by adding measurement, we now have a condition-based program.
So in theory, what we're doing is we're replacing inspect bearing, inspect motor, replacing that with measure this or measure the temperature of the bearing, measure the vibration of the bearing. We're taking measurements as opposed to just visual inspections.
Exactly. That's what we're trying to go and do.
Perfect. And is that all we need to be successful?
The premises behind condition-based maintenance, and predictive maintenance for that matter, is that most, if not all, failures will give you some sort of warning of the fact that they are about to occur. If we monitor the machines, we know what the norm is, and if there's a change in the norm, we now have a warning sign. This warning sign is called a potential failure. From that point on, you now have time before it goes into functional failure to plan a correction or a repair or a replacement. It buys you time. It gives you time.
Absolutely. It gives you that lead time to failure. And as you get more and more data, you can start predicting what that lead time to failure is. Based on what we've seen in the past, this might be 3 weeks till it fails, and so on and so forth. But you got to collect data to make it work.
That's right.
So does condition monitoring actually work then?
Two parts, yes. It does. If you detect a potential failure early enough, and it can be months, as you said, before the actual failure, it means that you can avoid the breakdown as well as secondary damage. This is cost avoidance, and the plant can save uninterrupted loss of production because of downtime costs. It also means that you can schedule an outage to do a repair. It's not a breakdown. It's not downtime. You control the outage, so it's cost savings as well.
And being able to control when you take that outage is vitally important, especially in high-demand production, high-cost production environments. Being able to pick that downtime is much better than the machine dictating it to you.
Oh, I agree.
So yeah. Is there any downside to such a program?
Yes, you still have machine failure. Machine failures, for me, are in three categories. You've got premature failure, you've got random failure, and you've got age-related failure. We want the latter. We want something to wear out. But as you know, there's been studies done that says there's only 11% of machines fail because of age-related issue. That means they grow old, they wear out. This means that 89% fail for some other fault. Now, this could be looked at as a good thing because that means you and I have an opportunity to do something to make a correction. on these failures.
Absolutely. And being able to make that correction and do that is vitally important to controlling costs, reducing how much spare parts we're stocking, all those great things that we're trying to do in a good maintenance reliability program.
Yes, I agree with that.
So you suggest setting up an on-condition task or on-condition maintenance program that was in RCM2, or should we say a condition-based maintenance program, which is more commonly known as. So that's what we should be doing moving forward, correct?
Yes, I believe that it takes a lot of man hours to change the culture, change is necessary. You need everybody on board before you start. So that means setting up meetings, cross-functional teams, or et cetera, et cetera. Many meetings, even before you start training. This is hard to juggle when you've got a plan to run. So I suggest a modified program.
Yes, it requires time up front in the training of the staff on what is RCM. What are we looking for? How does it work? Getting everyone together and doing that. It's definitely majorly time consuming.
Yes, I believe the condition maintenance program is a much easier to implement than RCM. And best of all, it can be piggybacked onto a current preventative maintenance program and can start as a basic or as sophisticated, as I said before, that your budget will allow, what you can afford. So that's good.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. Now, does it replace the PM program?
No, not at all. There are still some machines that need to be shut down and inspected, or, you know, filters that need to be replaced, etc. However, it does cut back on a lot of PM work.
You pointed out that they were successful because they could show cost avoidance and cost savings, which is what we all want in eventuality, is driving down the cost of production. But you also say that it is flawed. Why is that?
Because we still have the failure. With condition-based maintenance and predictive maintenance, we only monitor the process. We are not improving the process. And that is what we need to do. We need to improve our maintenance processes.
So how can we improve these processes and prevent the failures from occurring in the first place?
Well, first of all, with a condition-based, we need to do two things. First, a condition-based maintenance program needs to have a root cause analysis element in it. Being proficient at breakdown analysis is a must. The simple bottom line is you need to be able to find out what's causing the breakdown. So it's cause and effect. You don't want to be just correcting the effect. You want to find the cause and replace that. With breakdown analysis, we ask the questions such as, was the machine aligned? Was the bearing lubricated? Now, we know what the questions are. We call them the five whys. But let me ask you a question, James. When doing breakdown analysis, if you know the questions, what do you need to move forward with the analysis?
Well, obviously you need data and then the answers to those questions.
That's exactly right. To find the problem, we need answers to the questions and the data, as you point out. Without answers, correct answers, downtime analysis, a waste of time. Let me ask you another question. How many companies do you know who document the installation or reinstallation of their machines?
I'd have to say I have yet to see one do it effectively, so I would have to say very few overall.
I agree. So that, to me, means that root cause analysis or breakdown analysis, for the most part, is guesswork. It's hit and miss. That's why it's not done correctly. If you don't have the data, you're only guessing at what happened.
You can't go back and validate that it was installed correctly, that we aligned it properly, all those other things that are important to understand what is actually going on with that equipment. We don't have that information.
So what is the second element that a good condition monitoring program or condition-based maintenance program needs?
Well, I believe that the second thing that a condition-based maintenance program needs is precision maintenance approach to machinery installation and repairs. Precision maintenance is simple. it means to work to a set tolerance that you and your team agree on. The tighter the tolerance, the better the result. But you cannot have a tolerance that you cannot measure. Precision maintenance means upskilling your people, getting the right tools, but also the right training. It's machinery acceptance standards, precision balancing, alignment, base flatness standards, the removal of machine stress, etc. Most importantly, it's commissioning to a standard and documenting the process. If we are honest with ourselves, most of all premature failures are because we have done something wrong in the installation. With better standards, we can eliminate them. The answer to the question why in breakdown analysis is usually found in precision maintenance. That is why documentation is so important. In today's maintenance world, where we are short of time, short of manpower, short of money, a condition-based maintenance program is a must because it buys you time, and time equals manpower. Machinery installation using precision maintenance saves you money. It's preventing failure. It needs to have a root cause analysis element in it. They are not separate. They need to work together. So a condition monitoring program gives you time to improve skills, training with results in longer operating life. The backbone of a condition-based maintenance is documented installation and reinstallation of your machines. Sadly, it is often assumed that it is done correctly, which is the downfall of the program. Done correctly, it's the foundation on which to build on.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's vitally important to take a precision approach to everything we do. The installation, the maintenance, documentation is vitally important. The as found, the as left numbers, those are all vital to making sure that we can understand what's going on with the equipment and have a better understanding of how it's being impacted. If we install something, for example, and it's constantly being pushed out of alignment, why is that? Is there some dynamic or static stress that's going on that piece of equipment that we need to look for and consider? But if we don't have that information or data, we can never understand what is truly happening with it.
I agree wholeheartedly. As I said, we're often just assuming that the machine has been installed correctly. And that, unfortunately, is not the case. So if you want to start a condition monitoring program, or even an RCM approach, you have to start with the knowledge that your machine is installed correctly, guaranteed. And now that's the place you start from. So that's good.
What is the one thing you see done incorrectly with condition monitoring programs that you would like to change?
I just have to go back to what I actually said. It's people don't understand the importance of measurement as much as they should. And they make assumptions. You can see a machine that's been removed for a repair, and everybody looks at the base and makes the assumption that it's flat. It doesn't need to be level, but it needs to be flat. And yet very few people ever measure the base for flatness. It's understanding the importance of measurement and the documentation that have condition-based maintenance programs fail. So I'd like to see an improvement on that.
Assuming things are flat, plumb, there's no dynamic or static stress on the object, making those assumptions is not a good way to go.
Right.
Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from this conversation today?
You mentioned something earlier on when you talked about strain, a dynamic strain. It could be static or dynamic. One of the biggest problems with machinery installation is machines are left under stress. It could be pipe stress. It could be dynamic stress from thermal growth. It could be a distorted base. So I think I'd like to challenge anybody that was listening to this. And if you were working a plant, would you be willing to go out with the machine shut down and it's locked out? Would you be willing to loosen off all the hold down bolts and think that the machine is going to stay where it is? Because if it doesn't, it means that there's stress pulling it. That's food for thought, because a lot of machines are under stress. So I'd like people to go and consider what stresses their machines are running in.
Yeah, that is a good one. The assumption is made that, like you said, there is no static or dynamic stress, but usually there is some sort of stress impacted on that machine. Now, where can people find out more about you What activities are you up to at the moment or have upcoming? And do you have any resources you can share with our listeners?
Yes, you can, by all means, please visit our site. It's benchmarkpdm.com. And there's resources there on articles that we've written. They can always email. I mean, if they go on the site, they can always email. And if they've got a specific question on machinery installation, I'd be glad to answer it. So, yes, please visit us on Benchmark PDM. And if you do have a question, fire away.
Perfect. I'll make sure to include those in the show notes, as well as links to a few of the things you mentioned, you know, RCM2, Easy Laser, that sort of stuff. I'll be sure to include links to those in the show notes as well. So, well, John, as always, it's always a pleasure to get you on here and share your vast wealth of knowledge on these topics with us. So I appreciate you taking the time to do so.
It's my pleasure. All right. I hope everybody has a nice day.
Yes, thank you. You too, John.
Bye-bye.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.